Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in the studio is the producer, the man himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. And our friend and yours, Steve Kalaszewski.
A good day to you, sir.
Good day, good day. Oh, my goodness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have so much to share with you today. We're going to talk about new abortion ban, 20-week restriction looking to happen out there in Texas.
Praise God.
We're going to talk about an American hero today. You got to listen in the first hour. My goodness, so many untold stories. There could be an American hero living right next door. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light of the world. Oh my goodness. Steve, Pat, talk to us. What's been going on? I know, Pat, in the techie world here, in your world, in your computer, can you tell us the latest and greatest of what's happening in the petabyte world?
What's a petabyte?
I don't know, but for you to tell us.
I'm just learning myself, actually.
Really?
Oh my goodness. Have you heard about it?
Briefly, yeah. But it's about to blow my mind, I'm sure. Talk to us.
It just fried mine. What there was left of it is gone.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't take very long. A petabyte.
Is that like a bug or something? What is that? What's a petabyte?
Exactly. Well, have you heard of a gigabyte?
A gigabyte? What is it?
You've probably heard of a terabyte.
Now, what are those things?
I'm fixed to tell you, but you've heard of these things.
I've heard of them.
Okay. Well, if you gotta break it down to its lowest form. Actually, on computers, which you know most may or may not know, all the data that's stored is based off a byte.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we talk about computers here.
We're talking about computers.
Okay.
So bytes like
so data
tiny.
You know, depending on the size of the file or mm-hmm. whatever it is, it's calculated by bytes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You go from a byte to a kilobyte, which it takes 1,000 bytes to equal a kilobyte.
Mm.
All right. It takes 1,000 kilobytes to equal 1 megabyte. You remember the days back, way back, when we first, probably back in the 90s.
Uh-oh, wait a minute.
When we first ventured into computers. We had computers that had these huge things called floppy drives.
Oh, that's right.
I remember those.
You remember those?
Yep.
They held, I don't know if you remember this, 1.3 megabytes.
Are you serious?
We thought we had something there. You remember those?
Oh my god.
I'm
goodness.
Surprised you can even hold a gig in one of those floppies. I'm surprised
well,
at
well,
that.
Well, you can't. That's what I'm saying. It was only 1 megabyte. No, you could
put megabyte.
Megabyte.
Oh my goodness.
You could only put like a few documents on it. That's
two
it.
Pictures.
Forget about a picture.
Yeah.
If it was, it was so grainy, you know.
You said it was 1.3 megabytes on one floppy.
One little bit of floppy.
Yeah, so I remember that. The drive, mm-hmm. you had to put it inside.
When you think about that, to send a picture, most emails won't let you send pictures or videos past like 10 megabytes.
Well, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a day we were on dial-up. You couldn't hardly send, you know, a couple megabytes, much less 10. That's a lot.
So this petabyte, we're looking at what? I mean, there's what, 1.5 million computer users around the world?
Mm-hmm. Just think about how much computer usage has grown just in the last 10 years. And back in 2000, it's grown up to this point 342%.
Wow.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's huge exponential growth, man. It's like, it's everywhere.
Based off this article, back in 1995, there was approximately 16 million users. mm-hmm. in 95. You fast forward to about 2009, there's over almost 1.6 billion users using the computer.
1.6 billion.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
They say that there's so much data being consumed that the energy it takes to actually run it all
mm-hmm.
is equivalent as much energy it takes to run Sweden.
Just in data.
Just in data. Servers all over the world.
Is that like running for a year, running for a day? Does it say as far as... Wow.
It's just a lot of energy.
A lot of energy.
That's a lot of data. So what... Go ahead.
And the cost. You know, things cost so much back then. And when a gigabyte first came out, it cost $228.
Yeah. Hard drives were expensive.
Ouch. It was ridiculous. Now, this is the cost to make a gigabyte, not necessarily a drive.
Right, right.
It costs only 88 cents for a gigabyte now.
Yeah.
88 cents?
Yeah, to produce a gigabyte.
They said that's where about 3-4 years ago, they said that's where all the technology was going to. But they were trying to see like what was the next thing. And the next mm-hmm. thing was in hard drive space.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Because you have so many people today now that are using video. What takes all the space is you know, Word documents. They don't take any space at all.
It's the media.
It's the media stuff.
Everything's so media-driven now. They had to create these things to hold more data.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you got phones now that not only take pictures, but you got phones now that take video. Video takes an enormous mm-hmm. amount of space.
Mm-hmm. So then they came out in 2007, the terabyte.
Oh.
Remember that, yeah.
I remember when that came out.
That was huge.
Man, I thought... I'll never fill this up. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I'll never fill this thing up. Psh. Gone are those days.
So then what's a terabyte?
A terabyte is actually 1,000 gigabytes.
So what's a gigabyte in comparison to, would you say, a millibyte or kilobyte, what the floppy disk was? Are we...
You're probably getting into numbers I can't calculate in my head right
okay.
now.
Okay.
So
huge.
Know, gotcha.
That's huge.
Gotcha.
You know, and I have a few terabytes myself, which I thought, you know...
You'll never fill
I thought it. Psh. If you understand that psh sound, that just means... Yeah.
Don't even go there.
And we just,
no, we're not even close.
So now, guys, they've come out with a petabyte.
A petabyte. What is a petabyte?
A petabyte, guys, is over 1.5 million gigabytes. Actually, 1.2 million. Inflated gigabytes.
Wow.
Which is about 1,000 terabytes.
So what you're saying is you don't have any concern about filling up a petabyte.
Sorry, man. That's just my brain being fried. It's amazing. Just to give you some type of comparison, what that really means as far mm-hmm. as space, guys. A gigabyte will hold approximately 7 minutes of HD television video.
Just 7 minutes. 1 gigabyte.
Just 7 minutes.
Wow.
You used to think a gigabyte was a lot, but when it comes to media,
mm-hmm.
that's not much.
So like in an hour program, you're looking at 5 gigs. It's huge.
Yeah.
Some computers...
actually, more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing to try and compare it to, 2 gigabytes is equivalent to 20 yards of books on a shelf. 20 yards.
Oh,
wow.
Can you imagine that?
20 yards.
You think of a DVD, all right? It holds 4.7 gigabytes, which that's what our movies come on generally.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now let's go into terabytes, or excuse me, let's go into a petabyte, what that really looks like. 1 petabyte, just one.
Just one.
Just one now, is equivalent to 20 million four-drawer filing cabinets filled with text.
20 million. Four drawer filing cabinets, like the metal cabinets,
metal cabinet, yeah.
That's how tall is that? 4 feet? About 4 or 5 feet high?
20 million.
No, 20 million.
No. I'm talking about one cabinet. It's about, you know, a four-drawer cabinet is about 4 feet tall.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Just probably give
four,
you some dimensions.
Feet, yeah.
20 million of those.
Exactly. Stacked up on top of each other. Imagine that. I think you're in a stratosphere at that point.
Stratosphere, no doubt. No doubt.
All right. Now you got, let's say, 1 petabyte of HDTV video. How many years you think that is?
A lifetime of
3, 5.
13.3 years. You can sit on your couch and not move.
And just watch.
And watch.
Not the same movie, but movie after movie after movie for 13 years.
That much hours
If you wanted to, you could do this now. You now have the capability to watch movies for 13 years.
If you had a petabyte for movies, you would have to get off your couch for 13 and a half years.
Wow.
Forget about it. Crash it. Crash it now.
All right, let's just bump it up a half a petabyte. You know, just a little bit, not much. That's the size of 10 billion photos on Facebook.
10
billion. With billion. A B.
Wow.
Causes you to wonder. Just causes you to wonder here. All of this space available. Let me tell you something. There's enough hard drive, obviously, since Pat brought us up into the to the techno slash computer geek world. I'm sorry. No, computer world.
Hey, I'm just learning.
Dude. Hey, man.
I'm just learning.
But listen to me. There is enough space here. There's enough space to gather some stuff here. Oh, yeah. You can store some stuff.
It gets worse. Just a couple more, and then we'll stop.
Okay, thank you.
Let's get off this train. 20 petabytes is the amount of data processed by Google per day.
Per day?
Per day.
I'm thinking maybe
single
year.
Day, 20 petabytes.
Now, in relation to the 20 million Ford drawer, one petabyte was 20 million Ford drawer filing cabinets. Remember that a filing cabinet is about 4 feet tall, 20 million of those, and that's just one petabyte.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying, that's over what? 400 million. 400 million four-drawer filing cabinets worth of information.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Per what? Per day?
Per day.
20 petabytes per day. And this is like their holding space, or this is like what... That's just
how much unreal. That's how much data they process per day. All right, this is the last one, and I'm finished.
Oh, we got more.
Because this
I'm
is,
already
this
finished. My goodness,
this just puts it over the top. I'm not gonna, like I said, guys, these are just estimates, but they're pretty close. Let's go not 20. Let's say 50 petabytes.
Mm-hmm.
The entire written works of all mankind, from the beginning of recorded history, in every language. Okay.
Okay.
50 petabytes. Just 50.
The entire everything. Written work of mankind.
Of all mankind.
Technology is amazing.
Well.
And that's how close we are.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Pat. Thank you for sharing with us how close we really, really, really are. Listen, it's time to pay attention. The sign of the times, just because you may not be computer savvy, just because you may not know what's going on, let me tell you something, that there is enough data, storage capability, that will blow your mind and our mind and all of our minds together.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to know what's available and what it's out there.
Amazing.
But well, you know, God's news behind the news. What we want to make sure that we talk about today is about what's happening, and we've been praying about this, and we're going to talk more about this actually when we come back from a break, but we're talking about what's happening in regards to abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And so many things are happening. We've been praying a very simple and powerful prayer. Dear Lord, dear God, end abortion and send revival. And on VFN Radio, we have spoken extensively on abortion and what's happening in the right to life. When we have a constitution that is for the rights of all people, including babies. And with some of the segments that we've talked about, and here with one most recently, is the most dangerous place for a baby. Of all the places in the world, the most dangerous place for a baby is in the mother's womb. Since 1973, there have been over 50 million abortions. And in 1973... was the landmark case, Roe versus Wade. And the woman that was used in this case, Norma McCorvey, she has since then given her life to the Lord, was baptized on national television, and has been a strong proponent for life ever since.
Wow.
And most people don't even know that she had never even wound up having the abortion that bears her name, you know, her case, not her name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since then, 50 million plus abortions have been committed in the United States. Those are murders. Up until 1973, which is almost 40 years ago, there was illegal to have an abortion if you had an abortion or you were, had committed one, you're a doctor doing that, then you're going to jail.
Right.
You're convicted. When you break that 50 million abortions down, that means there's 3,322 people abortions per day. Think about that. 3,322 per day, 138 every hour, and one every 2 minutes.
Wow.
Every 2 minutes. And all that blood that's being spilled out, let me tell you something. God sees that. It's crying out to him. He sees it and hears it. And what we're looking right now, what we're looking right now is an abundance of just, it's like a wave that's happening across the country where it's now being exposed. God is answering our prayer. We, you know, we're getting our hearts right. The church is getting its heart right.
Yeah.
And you're looking at cases all across the country that have been brought up. I mean, here most recently we talked about the Baby Alive bill that was just signed in Florida, House Bill 1129, and it protects the lives of babies that were born during a botched abortion. That's huge. That says that this baby who was meant to be killed, meant to be aborted, meant to be stopped from living, I mean, just the word aborted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It means you're stopping. What are you stopping if it's not life?
Yeah.
What are you stopping?
Exactly.
If it's just a tissue, are you stopping tissue? What? Right. What? Abort means to stop. What are we stopping?
Hmm.
Well, in a botched abortion, which means a failed attempt of murder, in the event that our attempt of murder did not work and this baby was still born alive, then immediately we have to go into mode in the state of Florida of absolutely rescuing that child and doing everything we can do to keep that baby alive. And the Infant Born Alive Act, this is the definition. This is a living, breathing baby that was conceived as a result of a botched abortion. That's the official definition.
Mm-hmm.
And it entitles them the same rights of a natural born baby. The same constitution that is afforded to a baby that's born naturally is afforded to the baby that was born during a botched abortion. We have to make sure that we honor that.
Right.
And thank God that happened in Florida. Well, the House also passed a 20-week abortion ban. 20-week abortion ban, saying that under that a child is able to feel pain, and so they brought it down here to 20 weeks. And again, as you're seeing all this legislation that's happening, that's you know, coming to fruition. On top of that, in Wisconsin, they just passed a law that requires a woman that's seeking abortion to have an ultrasound before this happens. You know, they want to make sure that the woman is fully taken care of and she knows exactly what she's getting into. And we played a segment on this on VFN Radio. And we're going to make all these segments that we've talked about on abortion all related for you today so you can look back over the history of time, because you may just be tuning into VFN Radio today. Someone just may be turning on. We have new listeners every single day. And there's a whole context. There's a whole conversation that's taking place. When we come back, we're going to share with you some groundbreaking things that are happening and how God is responding to your prayers. Church, be encouraged. God is hearing and he is answering.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Can teachers lawfully promote a particular religion in public school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
You know, I'm concerned about the powers that be when they say that we can't talk about Jesus in the schools. How come the Constitution uses the expression in the year of our Lord and we're denied that ability? Teachers themselves should be able to promote Jesus in the schools because of the Constitution.
You know, the Supreme Court has drawn a distinction between the kind of what we would call state action, which is the teacher speaking, versus the students. The students clearly have the right to have Bible studies, prayer meetings, share their faith, evangelize, the events like See with the Pole. That can can take place without any constitutional problem. The difficulty is for teachers. The teacher is deemed under existing Supreme Court law to be the actor of the state. They cannot evangelize or what they call proselytize their faith without running afoul of the Constitution.
Stand with us and join the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you. Because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That He is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that He can. And He wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your Heavenly Father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him. You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about, you know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion and then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and He's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
Welcome back, VFN Radio. Back for the break, John Ramos, Pat, and Steve. Well, just before the break, we're talking about what has been happening in abortion, and what we're seeing is unprecedented in the course of our history since 1973. We're seeing a wave of legislation, and really it's a response, I believe, to the prayers of the saints. Many, many have been praying that God would end abortion and send revival, and we ourselves have been praying that for several years, and God's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these laws, and this is across the country, which makes it so beautiful. It's not happening just on one side of the country or in a couple areas. This is happening across the country, different states. And the last one we're talking about here was about Wisconsin, who just approved the bill requiring ultrasound before someone has an abortion. And before a woman has an abortion, how important is it for a woman to have full disclosure about what she is about to do? Because the decision that she makes in order to have an abortion is a life-changing thing. I mean, it's irreversible.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to live with the consequences of it. We also talked about, and we played this on VFN Radio, there was a study that was shared with women who were denied abortion.
Mm-hmm.
They were denied abortion. And I believe that 95% of the women that were denied because of how late it was or different medical conditions, mm-hmm. that said, listen, You can't have one.
Yeah.
95% of them said they did not regret having their children.
Wow.
They did not. I mean, how powerful is that?
That's powerful.
And so we're seeing a tide here. that's occurring. And one of the things that really brought this to fruition was Dr. Gosnell's case that was tried in Philadelphia, and he was eventually convicted of three murders, sentenced to three life sentences. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, he had committed over 60,000 abortions in what they have called, others have called, a house of horror, unsanitary conditions, and he's been sentenced to life. He has been sentenced to life in prison, mm-hmm. and his wife, Ms. Gosnell, she actually apologized. She had the decency and the wherewithal, and, you know, we can't speak for her own motives, but she at least apologized for her involvement and said that her husband deserved, her name was Pearl, was deserved to be there. She said that her husband's refusal to apologize to his victims meant that he was taking the cowardly path. This is what Pearl Gosnell said.
Wow.
Her husband's refusal to apologize to his victims meant that he was taking the cowardly path. She says, "I'm sorry for my part in this horror." And she continued to say that my husband is in jail forever, which is where he should be. This is so important.
Right.
This is so important because this blood has been crying out, and God's not going to remain silent on this. We've also shared with you about abortionists from Texas and other areas that have been tried after Gosnell, and it's the staffers that are coming forth saying, listen, they've fallen on the conviction. Mm-hmm. They have fallen on the conviction and have said, I can't participate anymore.
Yeah.
I cannot do this. This is horrific. You know, I just cannot keep doing this. Well, in Texas, some new legislation they're trying to get it approved. They're trying to get it passed. But what happened already so far, Texas legislators got together and they voted. Now, they voted to approve a ban on the abortion after 20 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This is earlier,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it's virtually making the abortion basically, it's almost making it impossible to get an abortion at all in the state of Texas.
Right.
Because it has three stipulations.
Yeah.
One, that after the 20-week, 20 weeks, you can't have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, and this is because the baby, scientists have determined that the babies actually feel pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Imagine that.
Wow.
I think most humans do, mm-hmm. you know, but there's scientific evidence now. The second thing, it requires for a doctor to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals. And God forbid something goes wrong. We're talking about being able to take care of the life of the mother, the life of the child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have admitting privileges, and it limits abortions to surgical centers. My goodness.
Wow.
I mean, if nothing else, I mean, the Gosnell trial showed us that he was performing these abortions and putting these women
mm-hmm.
at risk in these unsanitary conditions. This should be praised across the board. In fact, some of the legislators had on signs and flyers on their desks that said, in part, Psalms 139, verse 13 through 14, that you covered me in my mother's womb, and I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm.
Yet wow. at the same time, just last night, a lone Democrat in Texas was filibustering this bill, and they needed to vote to get it through. And this happened last night. In fact, the president tweeted that was a something bold was happening in Texas. This congresswoman who was doing this, her Twitter following was about 1,200 or so, and it just jumped to 20,000
mm-hmm.
as a result. And right now they're saying that they think they voted, but because there was so much ruckus and so much, they're not sure if it happened in time. There's a whole bunch of debate now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole bunch of debate, and it's uncertain if it was clear what happened in the last 15 minutes or so allegedly there was so much noise and so much ruckus in it that they didn't know if the bill had passed or they had signed it or what had happened. And so the lieutenant governor saying that Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, could call another special session. The session ended that night.
Right.
So they had a certain amount of time to pass this bill. But nonetheless, I don't believe that this is something that's going away. This is it's turning. God is answering our prayers. And you're looking at, from across the world, there's a chorus. There's a chorus of people that are saying, what is it? We got to relook at this. We got to say, what is happening in our country? How can we have been lulled to sleep and they're standing up? And there was a letter that was written by an organization or a group of priests called Priests to Life. And they wrote this letter in response to Nancy Pelosi. She was the former House Speaker, and she is a leader in Congress. And this was the letter that they wrote to her, dated June 18th, 2013. This is last Thursday. This is written to Ms. Pelosi. I'm going to read the letter to you. Again, this is from Priests for Life. And this is an open letter. Dear Mrs. Pelosi, last Thursday, June 13th, we're just talking to you just a little while ago, you were asked a question in a press briefing that you declined to answer. The question was, what is the moral difference between what Dr. Gosnell did to a baby born alive at 23 weeks? We just talked about that. About the abortions, the dismembering of limbs.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between what Dr. Gosnell did to a baby born alive at 23 weeks and aborting her moments before her birth? Given the fact that the Gosnell case has been national news for months now, and that Congress, where you serve as a House Democrat leader, was about to have a vote on banning the abortion after 20 weeks fetal age, this was a legitimate question. It wasn't a question that was thrown out anywhere. We just talked about how the House was voted on this.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a relevant question to be asking.
Right.
Exactly.
It's before you. You're voting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of attempting to answer the question, you resorted to judgment and hominem attacks on the reporter who asked it. Saying you obviously have an agenda and you're not interested in having an answer.
Wow.
Mrs. Pelosi, the problem is that you're not interested in giving an answer. I'm reading an open letter here from the Priest for Life that was written to Nancy Pelosi on June 18th, 2013. The letter continues to say, your refusal to answer this question is consistent with your failure to provide an answer to a similar question from me and the members of my Priest for Life staff several years ago. We visited your office with the diagrams of dismembered abortion at 23 weeks.
Wow.
Dismemberment abortions at 23 weeks and asked the simple question. When you say the word abortion, is this what you mean? In response, nothing but silence has emanated from your office. And what we want to do is actually play for you Nancy Pelosi's own words. And you can hear for yourself how that exchange actually occurred in this letter that the Priests for Life are actually talking about when the reporter actually asked her that question.
Members who have proposed that bill have done that in the wake of this murder trial in Philadelphia. They argue that there really isn't much of a moral difference between what someone like Dr. Kermit Gosnell did to infants born at 23, 24, 25 weeks into pregnancy and what can happen at a clinic down the road in Maryland where a doctor says that he'll perform elective abortions 28 weeks into pregnancy. So the question I have for you is, what is the moral difference between what Dr. Gosnell did to a baby born alive at 23 weeks and aborting her moments before birth?
What's okay, you're probably enjoying that question a lot. I can see you savoring it. But let me just tell you this. Let me just tell you this. What was done in Philadelphia was reprehensible, and everybody condemned it. For them to decide to disrespect a judgment a woman makes about her reproductive health is reprehensible. So next question. Next question.
What's the moral difference then between 26 weeks, elective abortion, and the killing of that same infant born alive? This is the issue that they're trying to
talk about. This is not the issue. They are saying that there's no abortion. They want to make it a federal law that there be no abortion in our country. You're taking the extreme case. You're taking the extreme case. And what I'm saying to you is what happened in Philadelphia was reprehensible. And I do not think you use that. I'm not going to have this conversation with you because you obviously have an agenda. You're not interested in having an answer. But I have responded to you to the extent that I'm going to respond to you because I want to tell you something. As a mother of five children, my oldest child is 6 years old the day I brought my fifth child home from the hospital. As a practicing and respectful Catholic, this is sacred ground to me when we talk about this. I don't think it should have anything to do with politics. And that's where you're taking it, and I'm not going there. Yeah.
Those are her statements. Well, this is what the letter continues to say. We're going to talk about that more in a minute. But I want you to have full context that you know exactly what the letter is saying and what she actually said and making sure that everything lines up, and it does. And this open letter from the Priest of Life written to Nancy Pelosi continues to say, in what ways is this refusal to address an issue of such national importance consistent with the leadership role you are supposed to be exercising? Public servants are supposed to be able to tell the difference between serving the public and killing the public. Apparently, you can't. Otherwise, you would have been able to explain the difference between a legal medical procedure that kills a baby inside the womb and an act of murder for which Dr. Gosnell is now serving life sentences for killing the same baby outside the womb. Mm. Moreover, you stated at the press briefing June 13th, as a practicing and respectful Catholic, this is sacred ground to me when we talk about this. I don't think it should have anything to do with politics. With this statement, you make a mockery of the Catholic faith and the tens of millions of Americans who consider themselves practicing and respectful Catholics and who find the killing of children, whether inside or outside the womb, reprehensible. You speak here of Catholic faith as if it's supposed to hide us from reality instead of lead us to a face of reality, as it is supposed to confuse basic moral truths instead of clarify them, and as if it's supposed to help us escape the hard moral questions of life rather than to help us confront them. Whatever Catholic faith you claim to respect and practice, it is not the faith that the Catholic Church teaches. Mm-mm. And I speak for countless Catholics when I say that it's time for you to stop speaking as it were. This is an open letter written to Nancy Pelosi in response to her comments on June 13th in a briefing when asked a very simple question. Very simple question. What is the moral difference between what Dr. Gosnell did to a baby born alive at 23 weeks and aborting her moments before birth? The letter continues to say, abortion is not sacred ground, it's sacrilegious ground. To imagine God giving the slightest approval to an act that dismembers a child he created is offensive both to faith and reason. And then the statement is there because she actually said, you brought up her Catholic faith and said that abortion was sacred ground. Sacred ground means holy. Sacred ground means sacred means holy. Abortion is not holy. It's sacrilegious. It's the irreverent. It's the opposite of holy.
Right.
But she called it holy.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing out her faith as if that was a card to say, hey, you know, I believe this. Let me tell you something. You know, you better know what you believe. You better know what the Bible says. Because they're saying, hey, listen, Don't do that.
Right.
Whatever Catholic faith you claim to respect and practice, it is not the faith that the Catholic Church teaches. And I speak for countless Catholics when I say that it's time for you to stop speaking as it were. She goes on, the letter goes on to say, and to say that a question about the difference between a legal medical procedure and murder should not have anything to do with politics reveals a profound failure to understand your own political responsibilities, which start with the duty to secure the God-given right to life of every citizen. Mm. And that's the duty of every politician who is elected by the people. We have a government and a constitution that says, listen, this is a document for the people and by the people. We the people, first three words. And she took an oath to defend it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And to defend life. The letter goes on to say, Ms. Pelosi, for decades you have gotten away with betraying and misrepresenting the Catholic faith as well as the responsibilities of public office. We have had enough of it. Either exercise your duties as a public servant and a Catholic, or have the honesty to formally renounce them. Sincerely, Frank Pavone, National Director, Priests for Life.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. This is important. What we're seeing is a turn in this country, and it's time for us to continue to search our hearts. It's time for us to continue to pray. It's time for the church to repent and saying they're not going to participate in abortions.
That's right.
To repent for their own sins and to continue to pray that simple and powerful prayer, dear God, end abortion. Send revival. It is happening. It is happening. And God is responding. Listen, if America's going to have any kind of hope, we must repent for the sins that have been committed of all people, especially the innocent bloodletting, that 3,322 children that are born every single day. Join with us and continue to pray. Dear God, end abortion, send revival.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
I want to encourage you, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you want to be close to Him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. It's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways, and eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also, join us at the VFN family. VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to,
right?
Because it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore. Somebody's, told you that that doesn't apply anymore. And they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. Let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that you're, it just seems dead. It just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped into VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're talking about the open letter that the Priest for Life wrote to Nancy Pelosi in terms of her views about abortion and her responsibility as an elected representative
mm-hmm.
to not only be informed, to answer legitimate questions about issues like abortion that she is about to vote for,
right,
and about the difference of knowing what is a legal procedure and to talk about what is murder and to defend the rights of all the people that are afforded in the Constitution, which she swore to defend, preserve, and protect.
That's right.
And we're talking about how important it is not to, you know, she's, her statement was, her ending statement, and you can listen to it on the torch, or you can actually listen to it in the beginning of the first hour. But her statement was that as a mother of five, and I'm paraphrasing here, and as a Catholic, that she considers abortion a sacred ground and basically to kept out of politics. Well, the sacred means holy. That's what it means. If it's sacred ground, it's holy. So how can we attribute what God calls murder as holy? And how can we pull out a card that says, because I'm a believer, to say, well, we're just not going to go there. It's a personal. No, it's not a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you're a public official, number mm-hmm. one. And you're in a responsibility. You're in a position that your decisions affect the lives of countless millions.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing private about your personal beliefs in terms of what, as an elected official, you have to vote.
Right.
And so it was a legitimate question by the reporter and a legitimate letter, I believe, by the Priest for Life. And what we're seeing is a major turn for life, for honoring God, and holding back the judgment of God. Let me tell you, this is the beginning of it. This is the beginning. We have ways to go to turn back, to journey back to God, to get things right. But this is encouraging. Don't give up now. Don't kick back. This is the time to press into everything that God is doing. This is the time to pray like you've never prayed before. This is the time to be involved like you've never been before. And to continue to stand for life and to stand for God and to stand for the Word of God.
That's right.
Get in the game, if you will. And be connected to what God is doing and what God is saying in this day. You know, I wanted to share before we end the first hour, I wanted to talk about briefly an American hero. And his American hero is Marcus Luttrell. He was part of the Navy team, Navy SEAL, and he was sent on a mission that was remarkable. I want you to listen to this interview that was conducted on CBN, and you can hear his story and what happened. Listen up.
Marcus Luttrell became known worldwide as the lone survivor of a deadly battle in the mountains of Afghanistan. The 2005 Operation Red Wing ultimately led to the largest loss of life in Navy SEAL history. 2 years later, Luttrell told CBN News that he talked to God while in battle and prayed that he would survive so that the courage of his comrades would not be forgotten. Luttrell wrote about his experience in the New York Times bestseller, Lone Survivor.
I made a promise to my guys when I came to and I crawled inside of that mountain. I was just like, hey, you get me out of here and I'll tell everybody how brave these guys fought. I said that. And I was like, I'll get out of here just to do that. I was like, I ain't going to die out of here. No way.
What followed is the focus of the retired Navy SEAL's new book, Service.
Service is your undying, unwavering devotion to God, your family, and your country. That's what service is to me. You know, it's not serving my, you know, it's not about myself. It's about what I can do for them.
Luttrell eventually went back to war in 2006. He spent 6 months in the most dangerous city in the world at the time, Ramadi, Iraq. Instead of remote mountains, Luttrell battled in the brutal maze of urban warfare.
Everything is a hidey hole or, a fighting position or something like that. And then you're dealing with the community. I mean, it's a city. You know what I mean? There's civilians there.
Luttrell fought in Ramadi when the fighting was at its highest intensity. By the time he left, the city had been subdued and one of the greatest victories in the history of U.S. Special Operations Forces.
A woman approached me and she's like, my husband's dead, my boys have been killed, thank you for being here. And that justified it for me. You know, Americans, we do a lot of things. We go out and help people, you know, in their time of need.
Being a part of that victory, did that help your psyche somewhat?
Yeah, a little bit. Getting back on the horse and getting back over there to prove to myself that, you know, I took a hard hit in Afghanistan, but I still had it. You know, I still had the mental capacity to get things done.
His body, however, told a different story. Luttrell says war tore his body down to the point where he could no longer serve on the front lines.
Guys were having to pick me up and carry me around. I just, you know, wasn't sleeping or anything like that. It was just the pain was getting to me.
His military career had come to an end, but not his story. President Bush awarded him the prestigious Navy Cross for valor. Luttrell also saw his SEAL team members posthumously recognized for their service. His team leader, Lieutenant Michael Murphy, received the nation's highest award for bravery, the Medal of Honor. The Navy Cross went to Petty Officers Matthew Axelson and Danny Dietz. Luttrell's new season of service involves sharing the stories of his comrades and serving his family. He is now married and the father of two children. He says his wife helped to pull him out of the shadows.
I write a journal to my wife every day. You know, I write her letters and stuff like that. And at the end of it, I say, you know, thank God for you. You know, because he gave you to me. He, you know, when I was in that point in my life when I wasn't in the SEAL teams anymore and I was just kind of trying to figure it out, that, you know, I wasn't looking for a wife, never thought I was going to be married or anything like that. And then next thing you know, bam, there she is.
The retired Navy SEAL hopes his new book helps people better understand what sets those apart who are willing to lay down their lives for a noble cause.
I've been willing to die for any of my teammates. You know, that's the reason our training is the way it is. It's as hard as it is. We have to go through that to make sure we're willing to give it all to preserve our way of life. You know what I mean? If we don't do that, then the terrorists are just going to keep coming in and doing what they do.
Who's the ultimate example of service?
Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. That's an easy answer. I think people who wouldn't even acknowledge that would definitely scream through their head.
Mark Martin, CBN News, Norfolk, Virginia.
We're talking about Marcus Luttrell here, a former Navy SEAL.
Wow.
And his new book, Lone Survivor. When we come back in the extra hour, we're going to talk more about this operation and really what happened over there in Afghanistan. Because let me tell you something, it takes men and women with courage to stand for America today. We're thankful for an American hero like Marcus Luttrell and all the other brave servicemen and women who have defended our country in the past and continue to defend our country today.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at BFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at BFNTV.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging, is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com, and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFN TV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side. John, check it out. I was going out to eat last week.
Uh-huh.
And I got to sit down at my table, you know, setting up my napkin. And this girl, she just starts running up and down to different tables. And she's like, "Hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app?" And I'm like, "The what?" She's like, "You know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it." And I'm like, "Well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone." She's like, No. I use your phone to find my phone." And I was like, "Oh, they got an app for that?" She goes, "Yeah, they got an app for that." I was like, "Oh, okay." Well, it was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking, and she started telling me about the app I needed to get. So I got that app, and I go, "Well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get." And she's like, "Really?" I go, "Yeah. There's an app, VFNTV.com. And she's like, "Well, how do I get to that?" I said, "You can go right on Android, or you can go on iTunes and type in VFNTV.com, start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that." And we start talking. She's like, "Wow, there's an app for that." I says, "Yep, check it out.
There's an app for that.
VFNTV.com.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God. how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at bindseminars.org.